Welcome to another edition of Nude Hipple, the podcast. I'm Tony Lozano. Today, we have a big name. Big name. An easy spelling name and a big name. Larry Potash. I think Larry Potash is an easy spelling name.
Kind of.
Okay. Well, he's my guest today. Producing the show today is from that other podcast and friends, Kimmy Spoons.
I just want to go back to that other podcast, but hello.
Well, you know, your friends is coming back this Friday on RadioMisfits.com with a new episode. Los Angeles and Friends, the show where it spun off from, doesn't come back until mid-October.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of annoyed that you get to come back before me.
You know, it just puts a big smile on my face.
And that's my roundabout way of saying, check out both podcasts at RadioMisfits.com. Los Angeles and Friends and Friends. So yeah, Larry Potash is my guest. Now, if you don't know who he is, where have you been? Because for a couple of decades and almost a half, he's been on your TV anchoring the WGN morning news.
I was late half the time for school and just watching that.
It was such a good show. It was a good show. It still is a good show. It's a news program, yet it's entertaining and informative. And when serious things happen, they're there with the serious news as well. And they have the greatest cast of clowns since the Bozo show.
I can't comment on that one.
Well, you know, they did take over the time slot from the Bozo show. So the audience that grew up on Bozo just transitioned into the WGN morning news, and that's me.
Good God.
So, Larry also has another show called Backstory with Larry Potash. This is a Chicago history, a little bit more than Chicago, a little bit more than history. If you ever remember Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack, I kind of feel that... Maybe this is the
one. That went over my head.
I feel that Larry Potash is taking some style from Robert Stack, but it's a damn good show as well. And I'm very excited to sit down and talk to Larry. So this is my interview with Larry Potash on Nude Hippo, the podcast.
Did you forget which podcast you were doing?
I did.
Following is a Tony Lozano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. This is Nude Hippo, the podcast.
All right, Larry, I've known you for a long time. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I first met you, I looked this up, you were 32 years old.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was 27 when I started working in the market.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So where were you for the first 5 years?
Well, you know, that we'll get to that. Oh,
part of that was the show sucked so bad nobody wanted to talk to us.
Well, and if you remember, there was a guy that was on our show, Ron Majors.
Yeah.
He was 53.
I know.
Roughly at that age.
Yeah,
now.
I look at that picture and I remember thinking, well, this guy is an old guy, been around, right?
Right.
And he's, remember he said...
that's what I was going to ask you. Do you feel that you're now in the twilight of a mediocre career?
Yeah.
Which is what he said about himself at that time. I bet you feel a lot younger than he did at that time. Because I think times have changed and we don't feel as old as we actually are. Because we're healthier, we're living more, we're doing more stuff.
I think that's all true.
Yeah.
I think that's all true. But the other thing that comes into my mind is TV has changed quite a bit from the days when I started, and certainly when Ron Majors started, where people would just back up a truck full of money to this TV station.
Right.
And those days are over.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm just trying to limp to the finish line.
Well, you guys are not limping. Really doing well. 25 years for
25.
WGN Morning News.
Right.
You started off as a did various jobs, and one was doing Anna Bolivar's job, which is
Ron Tone. I was hired to be the hard news reporter,
right?
And then they said, "Well, let's mix it up." And Joni, you and Joni Long will alternate weeks. And that was fun. It was. Yeah. It was because in that morning shift, I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
You get a little fried.
Oh, sure.
And so it's good to kind of mix it up a little bit. So that was fun.
Yeah.
And I think that helps you when you're doing different things in a performance way. It just makes you better at what you do, I think. It makes you more versatile.
Right. It gives you a little more freedom because when you're doing a hardcore story, you cannot be, you know, open and whatever. Yeah. But you could show your emotions and freedom when you're doing a round town.
Well, and it's more important now than ever to put your thumbprint on your product to demonstrate some degree of personality. Otherwise, your headline's on the phone.
Yeah.
And if you're not transcending headlines on the phone, you're not doing anything.
Right.
Which, sadly, some of our colleagues in the universe of news have not figured out.
Yeah. Now, have you ever, there was a time you were doing the noon news as well as doing this. Are you tired of mornings? Or is it just now a staple of your lifestyle?
No, it used to be that the pinnacle was to be the nighttime anchor. But based on what we just said, everybody knows the news by the time 10 o'clock rolls around.
Yeah. No, I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the hours. Are you, you're okay with the
I'm a
early?
Morning guy.
You
I are. Am fine at 3:30 in the morning. Okay. Nobody ever wants to come hang out or have a drink with me at 3:30 in the morning. But, you know, the only downside is I'm home in bed at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night because I really have no desire to be, you know, people say, why don't you come to the city, you know, Tuesday at 8:00? And it's like, why don't you come to the North Shore Wednesday at 5 a.m.?
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
it's just, I'm not digging holes. So it's
I've
fine.
Done both. I've done the early morning shift working in radio. I've done the late night shift. You know, I've started at where I had leave my house at 2 a.m. And I've gotten where I went home at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
The only difference is when you're doing the late shift, there's really nothing other than going to bed. There's nothing else you could do, especially if you're married and all that, you know.
But in this new technology age, mornings is the place to be.
Yes.
Because it's hard to be on your phone and get breakfast ready, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And even if WGN Morning News is nothing more than background noise, that's fine as long as the checks keep clear.
That's right. Well, I've always said about the WGN Morning News, you guys have found a way to make the morning entertaining. Mm-hmm. And when something important happens, you know how to cover that as well. There is a difference between, you know, trying to be a fun show and doing hardcore news. Because as you said, the other stations, they all have their different personalities and they've never gotten it right. They've never, Channel 7 for a long time was doing hardcore news, in my opinion. They were the one that was doing, if you just went straight news, they were it. No one is doing that anymore. But I don't think that's necessary. I don't think within our news cycle that you need that.
Right. I think it just gets back to being who you are.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there's this sort of news anchor factory mentality that we must be this way. And if I crack a smile, somebody's going to be offended. Or if I'm self-deprecating, people think I'm a dope. And people just want real people. You know, the buzzword now is authenticity. But why is that a buzzword now? God forbid news anchors be authentic. Right?
But
you need to demonstrate that. And if all you're doing is reading the teleprompter, then you're not authentic. And the downside, this is what every news anchor does going to weather in every station at every time in the United States of America. It's raining outside and the news anchor chastises the weatherman because it's raining.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not clever.
Yeah.
And everyone does it. Yeah. And no news director ever said, hey, why don't you stop doing that? Because it's stupid.
Right.
Paul Conrad and I never talk about the weather.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the weather is. I come home and my wife says, what's the weather going to be? I say, I have no idea.
That's right. I wanted to ask you, okay, so there's a few names that you've worked with or in general. Give me a quick impression about them. Robin Baumgarten. What do you think? What would you describe when I say Robin Baumgarten?
I think she's very comfortable with who she is and knows who she is and doesn't try to be anything more than that. And that's why people like her.
And she has a real Chicago accent.
she does. and you know what? It's different. It's unique.
Yeah.
And it's in terms of in the context of newscasts.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so I think people feel a connection with her that maybe they don't from somebody who's out of town.
Yeah.
And it's almost like when you're watching a movie and there's always that character where the director says, okay, this is the audience is seeing the story through this person's eyes. Well, that's who Robin is. And I think that's how the audience connects.
Paul Conrad.
He is the best ad libber that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And that he pulls stuff out of his behind. I don't even know where it comes from.
Well, he does also doesn't hold back. He really tells you his feelings, his impressions, everything.
Well, that's gotten, I think, that's gotten better or worse, depending on your perspective over the years, as he's had more children.
Right. Pat Tomasulo.
His pieces that he has done, we like to call them his bits or his sketches, they are the top 10, what I think, best moments of WGN Morning News. They're very clever and very smart.
You know, and when he first joined, I'm like, okay, there was Bill Weir, who I thought was really good. And then Mike Barrs. And I'm like, when Pat came in, I'm like, okay, who's this guy? And it took a while for me to warm up to him, and I really like him. And then he had his show, and that was really good. Tom Skilling
is exactly the person you see on TV, except for he has a dark sense of humor that most people probably wouldn't realize.
Really?
And which is surprising.
Yes.
Right? Because he's so straight and lovable.
Right.
But he literally is all about weather.
Oh, I know
that. It's not just his work or his job or a show. That's who he is.
I did an interview with him. I showed up. I confirmed it and all this. And then when he came in, and he's like, hey, guys, I only have like 5 minutes. And I'm like, that's fine. We'll do it.
Uh-huh.
And then 45 minutes later, I went, Tom, I have to go.
Right.
I have another interview. And we used to do a feature where we would take a highlight, a one-minute clip from our interview, and show it on the previous or the episode previous to the full half an hour interview. And it was called A Minute With. So in this case, A Minute with Tom Skilling. I could not find an answer that was a minute.
Yeah.
The shortest answer he gave me was a minute, was 3 minutes. And all I said was, what about that Jackie Bang? Yeah. And on every question I gave him, went right back to weather. Yeah. So Jackie Bang went to skydiving. When I asked him, hey, what do you like to do on your vacation that's not weather related? And he, within three words, went, well, I go to Alaska, I look at the clouds.
Yeah.
You know, he really is passionate. He loves what he does. And that's why I think he's really good at what he does. That's why he's the number one at that. The whole B team.
Yeah.
The morning.
They call themselves that. We don't call them that.
I think that's funny though.
Yeah.
What do you think of them?
You know, I just had this conversation with the news director, and I said, they're very likable, and they have good chemistry. It's a hard show to come into because they have good chemistry, but they're very different than us, and which is great.
Yeah.
We don't need any more sarcastic a-holes.
Right.
We've got plenty.
Don't need a copycat either. Right.
So it's... Yeah. Just a matter of being confident that you can say this or that and it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And not to try too hard, which is a hard thing to figure out.
Yeah.
It just takes time. And usually it takes somebody, one of us giving you the look, like, oh, come on, and calling you on it, right?
Right.
Which I don't know, they may be too nice to do. So we may need to step in.
And what about Jeff Hoover, the producer?
You know, Jeff used to call with these amazing impersonations.
Yeah.
Off his couch in his underwear, and I met him in a bar and said, we've got to hire you.
Yeah.
And it was really, it was great to have him because, you know, it was at a point where, you know, we were starting to have kids and, you know, we couldn't go out and shoot all these things and stay up late at night that we were doing. And so he came around at the right time to kind of give our show a real boost of creative energy.
Yeah.
All right. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back.
I am Howard Sudbury, and you are...
Steve Baskerville.
And on the next Back to You, we're going to visit with Sophie Doyle, who is one of the top female jockeys in America.
She is fantastic. What an athlete. I have no idea what a jockey's routine is and what happens out there when it's...
And you know what? She's also going to give us some insight on what it's like to have lunch with the Queen of England. Hmm. That's on the next Back to You with Stephen Howard.
I'll be there.
Back to You with Howard Sudbury and Steve Baskerville.
A Tony Lozano podcast, an Opie show on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Great talk radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.
This is Minutia Men with Rick and Dave.
So, Dave, what will people get when they hear Minutia Men?
Well, Rick, worthless information about things in the news,
celebrity tidbits, stories,
Cubs trivia,
very little profanity,
Nazi stories,
and lots of nudity. And that's just a taste of what you'll get
every week. Episodes every week.
Yep. Tony Lozano Podcast, an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
RadioMisfits.com.
Let's get back to the interview with Larry Potash.
I Googled you. You know, I like this when you type someone's name and then see what the options are after. Yeah. Have you done this? Have you seen what comes up after your name?
No.
Here are the choices. It's Larry Potash, age, Larry Potash, wife, Larry Potash, Wikipedia, Larry Potash, backstory, which is your show, Larry Potash, net worth, and then finally, Larry Potash, wife, age. These are things that people are Googling about you. What do you think about that?
Well, I know they have these bots like in Russia or China.
Yeah.
And so there was this, I don't know if you saw this bit that Mike Toomey did, our resident comedian, and it was, he kind of gave a voice to the recording of this like Asian bot computer generated biography, which was completely wrong, and said I was 74 years old, and
that's right.
You know, so people say, I say, yeah, I'm 74, don't I look great? So that's where that all comes from. The rest of it, I have no idea. I really have no idea.
I also went onto your Facebook page, your personal Facebook page, just to get a little bit about you. Do you know that you have under movies only one movie selected as a movie you like?
Is it The Godfather?
No.
Or Good Will Hunting?
You were thinking it was that. I know that it's, those are your interests.
What is it?
It's a movie called Animals from 2015.
I don't think I had anything to do with.
Then somehow was selected.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I'm not on my personal page much.
I didn't. Well, that's obvious because there's not much other on there. You know, like under TVs, it's the TV show Tulsa, which is from
Oklahoma. Yeah,
Oklahoma,
right.
Which I believe is where you used to work before you came to GN and all that and stuff like that. You are a big fan of like the gangsters.
Well, I like the, you know, I'm not this big gangster file like some people. Or I just like The Godfather because it's a good movie.
Okay.
I like Goodfellas because it's a good movie.
Yeah.
But I'm really, and a lot, I've done a lot of mob stories, but usually it's because they've fallen in my lap.
Okay.
And I know it's, whether some people like it or not, it's part of Chicago.
Yeah, right.
And so it becomes part of my job. It is interesting.
Yeah.
It's, there are, like you see in The Godfather, there are a lot of different elements to the mob story.
Sure.
And that's why people like The Godfather as well as I do. But no, I really, in the context of history, my thing is the Revolutionary War period, because I grew up in Boston. So it was all around me.
Yeah.
And I had the witches to the north, and I had I had the revolution in Boston, and I had the pilgrims down in Plymouth.
Sure.
And so I grew up with that around me. And when you grew up that way, you just think the whole world's like that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it more now that I've moved away.
Okay.
And so I recently went back to Boston to do stories on all these different things.
Yeah. And how did that go?
It went great. Including a story I did on my hometown, which is next to Salem, the old one of the oldest cities in America. Mm-hmm. And it's a story about spiritualism in the 19th century, where people thought they could talk to the dead. And there was this one guy who wanted to build a mechanical messiah. A robot to give birth to the second Messiah, right? And even the spiritualist said, "Yeah, you're nuts." But these are fascinating stories that people don't know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, is that what kind of led your interest into doing Backstory, your show Backstory with Larry Potash?
Yeah, I've always liked history. I like to tell stories, and most people can give you a Wikipedia page line or two about the big moments in history, and that's all they can give you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I try to go a little deeper than that, maybe dispel some myths, give you a few surprises, and make it a little more interesting than the I'm on my phone puppy, you know, ice skating, and then right. That's all great. But yeah, I mean, at some point, how about something a little bit deeper
with some substance? Yeah. Well, is this now the fourth season? How do we break this down?
Yeah. Well, in TV, in the days of the Rockford Files, a season would be like a year, right?
Right,
now
right.
A season,
and 26 episodes.
Yeah.
Right.
So we do 4 episodes when we do a season, and okay. I think this is 1, 2, 3, 4. This would be 4th. Yeah.
Okay. And when it started, it was called Intriguing Tales in History, Culture, Religion, and Science from Chicago and Beyond. Is that pretty much still the focus?
Yeah, that's, from the press release, that's kind of, I didn't want to limit it to Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very broad, this way it does, and beyond goes anywhere now.
Right.
I know, it's genius.
And I think we try to find things that have a little bit of a dark, mysterious side to it, but not always. We're doing something on the Rolling Stones and this 16-year-old kid who had this crappy newsletter out of his bedroom and ended up hanging out with the Stones, meaning in their houses, in their studios for years because they knew this kid wasn't going to steal their silverware or drink their booze.
Yeah.
He was just a kid who liked their music and they appreciated that.
Yeah.
I don't know that that would happen today.
No, I don't think so.
But it was a different age where you could see the Rolling Stones walking down the street in New York.
Yeah, Dick Biondi was one of the first people to interview Mick Jagger when he came to this country. And Jagger called him to let him come to the studio after his show for the recording of Satisfaction. Well, Satisfaction was recorded in 3 different cities over a period of time, but still, that's pretty damn impressive. And whenever Biondi would talk to me, he would say things very off-the-cuff, casually, like it wasn't a big deal, because he was always surrounded by it. I go, not everyone got to sit on a couch with Elvis, yet, he has all these fascinating stories. Do you have moments like that doing, whether it's WGN, whether it's other things, where you go, I can't believe I'm doing this?
Well, it's fun for me when, not so much when the new hot star comes in, but when Adam West comes in, or somebody from my childhood, like Gabe Kaplan, that's a real thrill.
Yeah.
But you're old enough to know that they're just regular people.
Absolutely.
Right? And you're just hoping they're not a jerk.
Right. You don't want that ruined.
And the
image.
Next level is, the next level above jerk is, I'm nice enough to get through this, which is most of it. And then above that is truly, genuinely nice.
Yeah.
And I can say for the most part, some of the biggest names that have come into our place have been that, which is great.
Yeah.
The biggest pains in the neck are the B-level celebrities.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Really?
The C-level celebrities from, like, the CW, you're on a show I've never heard of that will be gone in a year, and you're giving me attitude.
Right. Well, Tom Hanks once said he can never be a jerk in public, because then that will go across the nation. Right. So he always has to be happy, even when he's not. So maybe that's just a conditioning that they're at,
Well, and it's a good lesson for all of us. Yeah. Why not just act that way? Because as if someone's watching, because these days somebody is watching, even if you're not famous, and it's a good policy.
Yeah. My over my years of interviewing people or having them in the studio, my best interviews or the people I've met, I've always said this, was Valerie Harper, who just passed away. Mm-hmm. She was wonderful when I met her. She was exactly who I thought she was. Yeah. Don Wells, Marianne from Gilligan's Island. And she even said, look, I am only here because of that TV show.
Right.
She went, I embrace my past, where others have gotten very offended if you brought up a character that they did many years ago. And it's like, I don't know you from anything else.
And some of them did that and then came back around.
Okay.
And maybe at that time they thought, maybe there's still some juice in the tank, but there's not. So, Greg Brady comes to mind. Barry Williams was very nice in his more recent appearances, but I remember a time where he wasn't too thrilled about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why you're here.
All right. So how much longer do you want to do TV news? Is there, you don't have any other aspirations like, I want to be a talk show host, or I want to be like Bill Weir traveling the world?
No, I mean, my mind is open to everything and anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the morning show, I think, for all of us has become easy in the sense it's like, it's like a clock, you know. Yeah. I know what happens at what time. Right. The, you know. The,
yeah.
And so it's easy to fall into a trap of this rhythm, and so that's why. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason I started Backstory is because I just wanted something different, a new challenge, and something different to do.
Yeah.
And who knows what the next thing will.
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying Backstory.
Thank you. Keep that up.
I don't know if you have any control of that, but keep that up.
Yeah, I don't know. We have control over anything, but yeah, thank you.
And I do enjoy WGN More News. I've told you, especially when I was working at nights, me and my friend, we tape the damn news and watch it later on. Who tapes a news to watch it later? But that's what you guys can do.
Well, sometimes we forget people really only watch 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And so, but we're absorbed in it for 4 hours. So we get sick of hearing ourselves talk after 4 hours. Yeah. Really. I mean, I've said before, we recycle the same 40 jokes over and over again, but hopefully they shift across the time slots, right?
That's right. And talking about a formula, as you said, a routine, I know exactly what you're talking about because, like, whenever I've interviewed celebrities, for instance, and they're promoting a movie or whatever, as soon as you ask a question, you can see they could go into their thing. And it's always my challenge to get them out of that and just get to the person and have a human conversation.
Right.
And so I guess that would be part of the routine of doing a morning show for 4 hours every morning is how to keep it always fresh. You guys look like you do it.
Well, that's why when we do a celebrity interview and Dean and Robin are out there, I usually will ask the last question or like the fourth question because I just kind of want to sit back and see where this is going because I want to ask something off the wall and it would be bizarre to ask that right out the gate.
Right.
So I kind of like being asking the third or fourth question.
Yeah. Who was your favorite guest? That's hard to say because you've been doing this for so long.
Yeah, I mean, if I really could scan my brain, it would probably be somebody who's not famous, whose story really touched me.
Yeah.
But I think, obviously Tom Hanks was a great a great segment. John Cleese was a great segment where we had this baker baked him a Monty Python cake. It was beautiful. It was so wonderful. And oh my God, he's going to take it. And he took the cake and he said, thank you very much. And he threw it over his head. Right. And that is...
Yeah.
WGN Morning News, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome. So, those in terms of big names, those are two names that just kind of jump out at me off the top of my head.
When this is released the next day, the WGN Morning News will have a primetime special. What will that entail?
Well,
you've done it before.
We've done that before. But, we keep gravitating towards the same kind of clips because they are clips that are somewhat more recent. They're clips that have gone viral because they were in the viral age and because they're in our computer system.
That's probably the biggest one.
So we had to say, okay, you know what? We're going to have to get out our VHS tapes and go through this stuff and see what we can pull out of it. A lot of it, of course, not as funny as we thought it was 25 years ago. But it's been interesting to see some, bad haircuts and all that other stuff. And so I'm interested to see because I don't know what Robin and Paul pulled out of their tapes.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know how much they use for my old tapes. Mm-hmm. But it'll be nice to see something new and different in that sense.
So how far does the collection at WGN goes? In other words, you guys are pulling out your own VHSs. Is there a library of WGN Morning News and does it end at some point?
There was a library of VHS tapes that existed at one time. Uh-huh. Nobody knows where that is. Uh-huh. There are bits and pieces of stuff.
Yeah.
I think just things that we've saved along the way. But no, there's no comprehensive library.
Right.
We can say, I know what day that is.
Yeah.
Or we'll just put this into the search engine. No.
Right.
It's a deep dive into tape,
which
makes it fun and frustrating all at the same time.
Well, congratulations on
having
such a long run. And thank you for doing this. You've always been supportive of Milo projects. I appreciate that as
well. Hey, man, you're going strong. you're going where some people have fallen far behind. So congratulations to you
as
well.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So that was my interview with Larry. What's that sound?
That sound drove me nuts. It's a refrigerator that I glared at most of the time.
I know. You actually gave it a dirty look when it went off.
I think he noticed at one point because he was telling a story and it went from laughing and I'm like glaring. I'm like, I'm still laughing. But there's this noise and it's driving me nuts.
But this is how real life is. This is what I like about this podcast. We go to, in fact, Larry is right now recording his segments for Backstory with Larry Potash, which, by the way, will premiere on October 5th on WGN-TV at 9 p.m. That's a Saturday night. Set your DVR. This is a damn good show. All right, so that's the show. I'm Tony Lozano. I have to thank Kimmy Spoons from And Friends.
Thank you. And thanks to you, Tony Lozano, the executive producer. I'm trying to remember what
of opishows.com.
And thank you, Tony Lozano, the executive producer of opishows.com. That's hippo spelled backwards. OPPIHshows.com. And distributor Ed Silla from Radio Misfits. Great Talk Radio isn't dead. It just moved to a better place. RadioMisfits.com.
Until next time, from all of us, stick around.
Listen, subscribe, rate New the Hippo the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search for Radio Misfits. Be sure to tell a friend about Nude Hippo, the podcast, which is available online at RadioMisfits.com.
The preceding was a presentation of Opie Productions. Find our other great shows wherever you find podcasts, including OpieShows.com. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of Opie Productions.
Tony, can you shut up?
Opie!
On this week of And Friends, we're talking about sexual things.
Ooh, sexual things.
Oh, yes. And Florida people.
Ooh.
And Mickey Mouse comes and Roundhouse kicks us.
And friends. RadioMisfits.com.
I hate this show.
I love this show.
Coming up on the next episode of the Car Guys Report, Informed Automotive, the reasons why body shop repair costs continue to increase. Plus, we'll take a look at 8 collector cars that are on the rise. I'm Mark Vernon. Join me and Luke Costable for these stories and more on The Car Guys Report, a Tony Lozano podcast, an Opie production on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.